The fruit of the Spirit is the natural product of a life yielded to God's control. Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell explains God's process for growing spiritual fruit in our lives.
Peace is a disposition created by the Holy Spirit. How can someone who is facing cancer, who is facing unemployment, who is facing difficulties beyond imagination, how can they have peace? And it is only possible by the inner working of the Holy Spirit within their heart.
Every believer has the capacity to bear the fruit of the Spirit. In our series, Fruit Grows Where the Stream Flows, we will learn how to experience the fruit of the Spirit in our daily lives. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. If you want to learn how to have peace in the midst of a storm, how to keep joy when depression comes, how to practice patience through difficulty, and how to love the unloved, then this series is for you. And now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with part two of a message called Peace Grows Where the Stream Flows.
Sin had separated man from God. The Bible is very clear that sin had created a hostility between me and God. In fact, while you're there in Romans 5, look at verse 12, if you would, please. Romans 5, 12. And notice what the Bible says. It says, "Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world." Now, some of you have been studying this perhaps in the past. So as a class, help me out. Who is that one man? Adam. "Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." Now, my friend, God created Adam and Eve in His own image, and God created them without sin, and they had wonderful fellowship with God. And there came a point in the life of Adam and Eve where they made a choice. They made a choice to do their will rather than God's will. And the result of that sin and that selfishness was their banishment from the garden. It was brokenness of fellowship with God. Their descendants, Cain and Abel, were out one day, and the jealousy of Cain developed in his heart to the point that he committed the first murder in the Bible and took the life of his own brother, Abel. From that point on, we see in this world sin, and we see defilement of all different kinds, wars and rumors of wars, and we see the evidence of brokenness in this world today. Death has passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. We do not need a Savior because we sin sometimes. We need a Savior because we are born into this world as sinners. We are a part of the Adamic nature. The sin line of Adam has been passed to all of us. And so we see in the Word of God very clearly that sin separates man from God. God cannot look upon us as unbelieving people, as people with sin in our lives, because He is a perfect and a holy God. But Jesus came in order that He might make peace in this world. Jesus came to reconcile us to God. In fact, in Romans 5, 8, right there in the Bible, it says, "But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Another way to see it is right in your notes there, Colossians 1, 20. "And having made," what's the next word say? "Peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself. By Him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven." And so we were ostracized, separated, and we were alienated from God. But God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, who shed His blood on the cross so that we might have peace by way of the cross. Now, you can be at peace with God today if you would open your heart to Jesus Christ and receive Him as your Savior. For when He shed that blood on the cross of Calvary, He did that so that your sins could be forgiven, so that you could be brought back to a relationship with God. Hebrews 9:22 says, "Without the shedding of the blood, there's no remission for sin." But thank God, when Jesus, the God-man, shed His blood on the cross, then you and I had a covering for our sin, and we can be reunited with the God who created us. And God is willing, and God is waiting to be reconciled with you. He loves you. He wants you to come unto Him. Now, sometimes I've heard people in different parts of the country say to someone, maybe on their deathbed, these words, "Have you made your peace with God? Have you made your peace with God?" But I want you to know something this morning. You can't make peace with God, but Jesus did. Jesus made peace by the shedding of his blood. And so when you trust Jesus as your Savior, your sins are forgiven and you can be reconciled to God. And Jesus made peace with God for you. And so the key is to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. You can be at peace with God today through Jesus Christ. But not only do I want you to see that you can be at peace with God, and that's the most important, but I want you to see from that relationship with the Lord Jesus, you can secondly this morning be at peace within. You can be at peace within. Many people are at a loss for peace within their own hearts. And it's interesting, people today begin to fantasize and they begin to think to themselves something like this. You know, if I could just have a new possession, if I could just have a new motorhome, if I could just have a new motorcycle, if I could just have a new this or that, why, I can just picture myself rolling in the breeze and what peace that would bring. Some people think this way. If I could just have the world's best vacation, if I could just go to Tahiti, and if I could there on the beaches of Tahiti, just sit down in a lawn chair there and have my favorite soft drink, and if I could have the palm trees swaying in the wind over me, that would be such a wonderful thing. There's only one problem with that, and that is that you cannot run from yourself. The problem with going to Tahiti is that you will be there. And if you're not at peace in your heart, then it doesn't matter where you are. I don't have time for the illustrations of even the multi-millionaire such as John D. Rockefeller, whose hair and fingernails begin to fall out in his 40s, whose skin begin to creep and peel because of the nerves and because of the agitation and because of the failures in his life personally. He was not at peace with himself. Years ago, I saw a Peanuts cartoon where Lucy was talking to Charlie Brown. I'm not sure of this, but I think Charles Schulz must have been a theologian or something. You know, there's a lot of good sermon material in those Peanuts comic strips. And Lucy was walking around one day and she said, "I hate everything. I hate everybody. I hate the whole wide world." Someone said, "Sounds like my wife just yesterday." No, but she was in a bad mood. And she was walking around complaining, and Charlie Brown said, "I thought you had inner peace, Lucy." And she said, "I do have inner peace, but I still have outer obnoxiousness." Now, the kind of peace we're talking about, if the Holy Spirit's working on your heart and the Word of God is growing in your heart, it's going to be the kind of inner peace that changes the outer fruit. Remember, when there's a fruit problem, there's a root problem. And if we're not rooted and grounded in Jesus, then the kind of fruit that is displayed from our life will be pretty rotten, stinking fruit with fruit flies and maggots all around it and non-attractive to this world. Now, you can be at peace within. Someone says, "How?" Let me give you a few thoughts. First of all, peace is a grace of the Holy Spirit. Peace is a grace of the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace. Or we sometimes say it this way, peace is a disposition created by the Holy Spirit. How can someone who is facing cancer, who is facing unemployment, who is facing difficulties beyond imagination, how can they have peace? And it is only possible by the inner working of the Holy Spirit within their heart. Now, someone says, "Pastor Chappell, last week you said joy is a disposition created by the Holy Spirit." And you're right. Each of these are dispositions created by the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit can spread this kind of peace into every believer's heart. And so it is a gift or a grace of the Holy Spirit of God. Secondly, God's peace is beyond description. This peace that we want to learn more of, this peace that God wants us to experience, it is beyond description. I want you to turn one more time. If you're in Galatians, turn over a few pages to Philippians. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. And I want to share with you one of my favorite portions of Scripture this morning because it has helped me so many times when Satan was trying to rob me of peace. And I want it to be a help to you today. I want some of you to take these verses and put them on a 3x5 card and put them in your pocket. I want you to put them on your desk. These verses will help you because these are not my words. These are God's words. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Be careful for nothing. Philippians 4:6. Be careful for nothing. And of course, the word careful means full of care or worry. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. God says, I want to give you a peace that will pass all understanding. Be careful for nothing. Take the burden from your family life and your work life and give it to the Lord with thanksgiving and prayer. And let Him bring a peace that passes all understanding. The word worry comes from the German word worgen, which means to choke. And when we're worried and stressed, it chokes out our ability to concentrate, to serve, to make right decisions. God says, give me your worries. Years ago, I heard the story of some Korean Christians, and they were struggling through persecution. Their relatives were Buddhists. They did not want anybody to be in their family that was a Christian. And so they began to ridicule, and some of these Christians lost their jobs because of their belief in Jesus Christ. One day, a Korean man said to his boss after being fired from his job, he said, I would like to tell you something about Christians. He said, we are just like nails. The harder you drive us, the deeper you drive us. And the deeper you drive us, the more peaceful it becomes. And that can only be said when the pressure is drawing you closer to Jesus Christ. It really doesn't matter how great the pressure is. It only matters where the pressure lies. Be sure that it never comes between you and Jesus Christ. Let that pressure bring you closer to Jesus Christ, and you will experience a peace that passes all understanding. God's peace is an invincible force in your heart during times of difficulties. And let me tell you how that peace can grow and grow. Two thoughts. First, God's peace is sustained by the Word of God. God's peace is sustained by the Word of God. Someone says, I'm sensing a measure of God's peace right now. God's ministering to my heart right now. But how can that be alive tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock when deadlines are coming and phones are ringing? And that will come as we daily are in the Word of God. I want you to turn to two more verses this morning very quickly. These are two of my favorite verses of the Bible. First one's in Isaiah chapter 26. Isaiah 26. And many of you may want to underline this or mark it and write it down later. Some of you ought to try to learn a verse a week or two just to memorize the Bible. Isaiah 26 and verse 3 is one of my favorite verses. Just take a moment. It's right around the middle of the Bible there. Isaiah, Jeremiah, right in that range. Chapter 26, verse 3. Isaiah 26, 3. It says, thou wilt keep him in perfect, what's the next word? Peace. Whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. Let's say it together. Ready, begin. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. You see, we come to this church on Sunday morning. Our stated purpose in the front of the bulletin is this: to inspire people to develop a heart for God. It is our desire that through the music and the preaching, we may focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to leave here with our affection on the things above. But I know as soon as you leave this parking lot, the devil's going to try through some billboard, through some traffic accident, through a pink slip, through some trial. He's going to try to get your eyes off of Jesus Christ this week. And that's why I want to challenge you to keep your mind on Him. Because when you do, peace will come into your heart that will pass all understanding. You know, one of the greatest ways I find peace in my personal life is just to stop for a moment and think about the cross of Calvary. When I think of what Jesus did for me in the shedding of His blood, it puts so many other things in perspective. I want you to see one more verse this morning as it tells us about keeping our mind on Jesus. Psalm 119, verse 165. Psalm 119, that's the longest psalm in the Bible. Whenever I tell my children for morning devotions, we're going to read Psalm 119, they raise their eyebrows. There's a lot of verses in Psalm 119. Every one of them is like a mini sermon. So turn there very quickly. I want to share with you one of the best sermons in that psalm. Psalm 119, verse 165. And it says this: great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Wives, what a great verse to write down on a 3x5 card. Husbands, what a great verse to write down on a 3x5 card. And let's read it together. Ready, begin. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing. You find a Christian that's ticked off. You find a Christian that's bent out of shape. You find a Christian that's got some issue with some other Christian, and I'll show you a Christian who's not saturating their heart in the Word of God. I believe the mark of spiritual maturity is when even though you've been offended, even when someone has wronged you, you're able to go on with the peace of God in your heart. There's too much scripture in that heart to let that kind of bitterness stay, to let that kind of a hurt coincide. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. The Word of God will develop that peace. And secondly, God's peace will rule in your heart like an umpire, Colossians 3:15. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. I'm saying this morning you can be at peace with God through Jesus Christ. I'm saying secondly, you can be at peace within your own self through the Word of God, daily applying the Word of God to your heart. I want you to notice finally this morning that you can be at peace in your relationships. We can be at peace in our relationships. Now, with all due respect, this is where many psychiatrists and psychologists do not understand the power of the presence of God. They want to sit two people down and begin to try to get them to get along with one another, and they try to get them coinciding with one another, and they leave God out of the equation. But until you are at peace with God, you will not know peace with your own self. And until you're at peace with God and within your own heart, you'll not be at peace with your spouse or with your relative. Why? Because we must have relationships properly aligned vertically before they will be properly aligned horizontally. Hebrews 12:14 says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Now, I find in talking with people that most of our problems are people problems. It just seems like when people come in to talk to me, they don't say, I need an appointment with Pastor Chapel, and they'll take off a few hours of work and come up to the office and sit down and say, Pastor Chapel, I'm here today to tell you about my problem. It's with my carburetor. Now, I have had people say that, you know, and I try to recommend a good mechanic, but most people don't come to me with that. Most people say, I need to talk to you about my problem. I've got a lot of dandelions growing in my lawn now. That's not what most people want to talk about. Did you know most people, when they come in, their problems with some other person? It's about their wife. It's about their husband. It's about their children. It's about their boss. And the fact of the matter is that until we are right with God, we'll not be right with other people. And that's where we often make the mistake in relationships. Now, I want to share with you a few quick thoughts about relationships. First, God wants you to be at peace in your home. God wants you to be at peace in your home. And so many times, Colossians 3:15 is not practiced. The peace of God is not ruling. It's not superintending in our homes. The fact of the matter is that sometimes we have peace robbed from our families in the most interesting ways. Heard about a lady that returned home from shopping the other day. She had bags and bags of different groceries and different items from the mall that she had purchased. Her husband said, what in the world did you buy? Prices are so high. You have spent a fortune. What's going on? What's happened to our nest egg here? The lady was kind of frustrated and defensive. She said, I'll tell you what happened to our nest egg. The old hen got tired of sitting on it. Now, I'm telling you right now, sometimes finances will bring turmoil. Sometimes even a football game will bring turmoil. But God says, I want your home to be a home where the peace of God is ruling, where it's passing all understanding, where you know that God is at work. Secondly, God wants this peace to be in our church. 1 Corinthians 14:33 says, for God is not the author of confusion. Excuse me. You show me a church where there's bickering and backbiting and where people are having a roast pastor for lunch. I'll show you a very immature church that is not experiencing the will of God in their midst. God says, I want a church, 1 Corinthians 14:33, that is a church of peace. In fact, God is so strong on that in His Word. He even says in Romans 16:17, now I beseech you, brethren, Mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. God says, I want my church to be a place that is not filled with contrariness and division, but I want it to be a place, Ephesians 4:3, where we are endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And I thank God for the peace that is present at Lancaster Baptist Church because of members who endeavor to keep the peace, who easily forgive, who do not hold grudges. God says, I want you to have peace in your family. I want you to have peace in church. Thirdly, I believe God wants us to have peace in this world. In this world. Now, I know there's a lot of different formulas that people are trying to find peace in this world. Some are looking to the United Nations. I'm not looking there. But I'm not looking to the United Nations to bring peace. I've seen that bumper sticker. Perhaps you've seen it as well. Visualize world peace. I'm not exactly sure how you're supposed to do that. And first of all, keep your eyes open on the road, number one. I don't think visualizing is the key, but I've seen that bumper sticker. But I'm just simply saying there's a lot of different kinds of bumper stickers out there, and a lot of them say visualize world peace and all these different things about world peace. But you know, you're not going to have world peace by visualizing it. How are we going to have world peace? Let me give you a few thoughts on that first. We're going to have world peace by preaching Jesus Christ, because he is the Prince of Peace. Romans 3:17, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Excuse me, that's the world we live in right now. There's no fear of God in anybody's heart. Everyone's just going out, blowing each other away, and living like a bunch of animals, and no one seems to realize there is a God in heaven watching all of this. But Ephesians 6:15 says, your feet should be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. What does that mean? That means we've got to be ready always to give an answer to people who ask a reason of the hope that is within us with meekness and fear. We've got to be ready preaching Christ, because he can put peace in someone's heart, whether they live in Jerusalem or Lancaster or New York City. God can do that. Secondly, we can have peace in this world by praying for our leaders. Someone says, well, I don't like our leaders. All the more reason to pray for them. Look what the Bible says, 1 Timothy chapter 2. I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Notice this, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. And we need to pray that our elected officials would be saved. We need to send them gospel tracts, send them a gospel message tape, do everything we can, but pray for them. And then I want to say, thirdly, the way that we're going to see world peace is by expecting the return of our Lord. I don't have time to develop this, and we're almost done, but let me say, there will be no lasting world peace until Jesus comes again. We can't bring world peace on our own, but when Jesus comes, he can bring world peace. In fact, notice what it says there in your notes, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. It says, but of the times and seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. 1 Thessalonians 5:3. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child. In other words, there will be politicians and world leaders say, we've just about got peace figured out. We've just about got it figured out. We're visualizing, and here will come some guy who will articulate their vision, and they'll say, yes, he's the one. And it will probably be what the Bible calls the Antichrist, the son of perdition. And they'll think they finally got peace, and then sudden destruction. Whether you've read about it in Tim LaHaye's novels, Left Behind, or whether you've read about it, more importantly, in the Bible, there is coming a day called a great tribulation. And those without Jesus Christ will be left behind, and it will be a great and tragic day on this earth. And it will not be until Jesus comes at the end of that era that this world will know peace. That's what Isaiah was speaking about in Isaiah 9 in verse 6 when he said, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Prince of the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. When Jesus comes, he will bring peace to this world. And so as Christians, we want to bring people to Jesus. We want to pray for those in authority. But more than that, we know that when Jesus comes again, peace will finally come to this world. Now I want you to realize this morning, you can be at peace with God, but it must come by way of the cross of Jesus Christ. I want you to know this morning, you can be at peace within, but it must come by the word of God. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Listen, you can be at peace with others, but it will only come as you yield to the Holy Spirit of God.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. Sometimes it can be hard to tell what makes Christian college valuable to you. When you consider a college, it's important to receive instruction from an institution and leaders that share your values and convictions. West Coast Baptist College is a four-year Bible college dedicated to training men and women for a life of ministry in local churches around the world. If you are interested in Bible college, or if you know of someone who is, visit our website today at wcbc.edu or text 661-430-5300. We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chappell has served as the pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church for nearly 30 years, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chappell's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message. Connect with us and sign up for Pastor Chappell's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at dailyintheword.org. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.